Well, I wasn't supposed to preach here. I was supposed to be in another church, but we were at youth camp back on the 8th. And Brother Tim, I think it was, we and him switched. And isn't it good to know that no matter what church you go to, when you open the Word of God, it's all good? It doesn't matter who preaches it. It doesn't matter what man it is, how young, how old. What it matters is we get in the Word of God, we look at it together, we study it together, and we learn from God's holy word. I'm going to ask you to take your Bible tonight to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Brother Dave started talking about some of this when he first started tonight. And the first song that the brother sang was about this, and I want to preach and be faithful what God's given us tonight. You love the Lord tonight?
Amen.
I was sitting there thinking this evening, it's good to be saved, isn't it?
Amen.
There's a lot of other things that you could do or be, and there's nothing better and greater than being saved by the grace of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, when you get there, I'm going to ask you to stand tonight as we read the Word of God. I'm going to go over some scripture you're probably well versed in, but want to be obedient to what the Lord's given us. Verse number 13 tonight. Your Bible says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, for you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." I got to thinking about that before I go on reading. You know, we live in a world right now that has no hope. They don't know where to turn. They don't know where to look. They don't know what to do. They simply, Brother Rich, they have no hope in their life. We have hope. The Bible says, don't be ignorant, for we have hope tonight. He says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, which we do, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. We thank you for what you've given us. And we pray tonight, Lord, that you give us the help that we need. God, I realize as I stand behind this sacred desk up here tonight, I can do nothing without you. But I ask for a fresh anointing from heaven tonight. I ask you that you pour out your spirit, God, and give us a word, not that I can think of and not what I could say. But God, I simply pray that you'd work through us tonight. Get a hold of our voice. Get a hold of our tongue. Let your will be accomplished and done in this place. Lord, if there be some people tonight that need to come to the altar, I pray, Holy God, you'd speak to their heart, that they would not be able to sit in their seat, but they would come forward and receive, Lord, what you have for them tonight. Lord, we need you tonight. We need nothing more, nothing less. We just need God in our lives. We need your help. Have your way in this place. We'll praise you. We'll thank you for all of it, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can be seated tonight. I've got so much. I'm like Brother Scott last week, just got so much on my mind. And I'm a heart that I've just got to get right into it. Not going to hold back any, not going to tell you a funny joke or story. Just going to get right into the Word of God tonight. There are so many people with suffering that are suffering right now. There are so many people that are going through pain and struggles and trials and hurt. I mean, right now in your life, our sister back there, I have no idea in the world what you're going through, but I'd say she's not the only one in here that feels that way tonight. You've been waiting on God to do a miraculous work in your life, and he has not maybe done it yet, but thank God, just keep on holding, because there's a day that is coming that it will get better in your life. I mean, we live in a time right now, it seems like Satan is after every last one of you. He's stealing everywhere that he can. He's killing. He's destroying. He's working overtime, as some would say, right now, coming after God's people. And sometimes it feels like he's winning. Sometimes it feels like he's prevailing, does it not? Have you turned on your news lately? It doesn't seem like God has the upper hand, but it seems like Satan has the upper hand. It seems that no matter where you look, wherever you turn, there's evil and wickedness all around you, and it prevails nonstop all over us in America where we're at this very moment. But I want to tell you tonight, don't get down, don't get weary, don't get upset, don't lose hope, and don't lose faith, because my Bible told me tonight in 1 Thessalonians that we've got a Savior that's coming back. He's coming back after His people. He's going to come back, and He is going to rescue every last one of you. Your suffering is just temporary. Your pain is just temporary. The stress that you're under, what's your way? It's just going to be for a little while. We have a Bible said, lift up your head, for your redemption, it draweth nigh. There's coming a time, I believe very soon, that the Lord will split that sky open and come back and get His church. Brother Scott, at that very moment and in that very time, you're not going to worry about what's got you down right now, what's bothering you and what's hurting you. There's coming a day that the Bible tells right here, He is coming back after His people. We sing a song. All of us know the song. There is coming a day. If I could sing it all, I'd sing it to you. I can't, so I'm not going to. But it tells us in that song, there's not going to be any more tears. There's not going to be any more sorrow, no more pain, no more parting, no more death. None of these things that we have right now, they will not be at some point in time. These things are not going to be the case forever. Right now, it may seem like Satan has won. But let me remind you, God has the final say-so, not Satan. It might seem like he is the prince of this world. That's what your Bible says. It might seem like He's got wickedness all around you, but He doesn't have the final say. So the God in whom we serve determines everything, when it will happen, how it will happen, and Satan can't do anything without God allowing him to. God is our God. He's our hope and our Savior. The scripture here tells me it's not going to be very long, and we're going to be leaving here. So when I get out of my Bible, you look at what's going on all around you. I really wanted to preach in Revelation tonight, just didn't get there quick. I got stopped before I got to Revelation. There's the things, the events that are taking place all around us, it's not going to be very long. No idea when it's going to be. You don't know. I don't know. But I believe that He's coming back, and it's probably not going to be very long. But yet, we live this life. This is where it gets a little more hard. We live this life like we're going to spend eternity here instead of there. We get to live in our life and get so concerned with right now, Roshan, instead of where we're going to spend the rest of our life, where we're spending all of eternity out. We get so focused on entertainment and sports and work and what our hobbies are and what we do. And we get to forgetting about this is just temporary, just for a few more years. You might have 10 years, you might have 5 years, maybe 30, but at some point it's going to come to an end. And that is a place I pray that if you're a believer, you will spend all of eternity. Yet we prepare our life like we're going to stay here for all of eternity, like it's going to be like this. We get so caught up with everything else. Instead of trying to please God, instead of trying to please the King, we just try to please ourselves. Do what we like, do things how we want to do it. That's what the world tells you to do anyhow. And they think that's I don't plan on being here all that much longer. I plan on being Him. So everything we do, we lay up, the Bible says, for an eternal kingdom, treasures that you can take with you, things that you'll have, that you can go and have even when you die, that once again you'll be reunited with. Your money won't be there. Your fame won't be there. Your job's not going to be there, but I promise you this, He will be there. Who you living for tonight? I was thinking of this, Brother Dave, today about a king, and I went back and I looked a little bit about old kings that used to be on this earth. And I find that there was people that would bring the king things to try to please the king. They would bring expensive. You would give the king something you would give nobody else. They would bring in expensive gifts. They would bring in precious metals, gold or silver, and they would lay down before the king to honor the king and to bless the king. And I got to thinking about that. You realize today all those kings and all the kingdoms that have ever been, except for His kingdom, are all gone right now. I mean, half the things that they were given, I mean, the rust got a hold of, or the ground took back to nothing. And even today, all the kingdoms are dissipated. They are no more. But there is a kingdom that still stands. There's a kingdom that always will be. And so I want to ask you this question tonight. What are you doing to please the King? Because we've got a king, and I guess what? And 100 years from now, whether here or rather there, he's still going to be king, Brother Tim. It doesn't change. So what are you doing to please a king that always will be in a kingdom that will never go away? Four things let me give you quickly tonight, because I've got to finish up in this text that we've read. There are a lot of ways to please God. As I sat in my office today and I studied and I prayed, I had a list about that long. And I thought, there's no way people are going to stay that long. So God gave me, he said, these four right here. And he gave me these four just off the top of my head. And I want to give you these quickly tonight, and we'll finish up where we're at. But number one tonight, how are we going to please God? If I ask you that question, I don't know what you think of, but one of the first things that come to my mind is faith. Without faith, the Bible says it is impossible to please God. There's a lot of people right now that have faith in a government. The only faith I have in our government is they're going to mess it up. That's the only faith. Hey, that's the only faith. I know they're not going to get it right. And it doesn't matter 8 years from now, 4 years, 2 years, 10 years, our government's still not going to be the answer. I only have faith they're going to get it wrong and not do it right. Why? Because that's all they've ever done. But some people have all this faith that our government is so great and they're going to save us. What are you talking about? They're destructing you right now. They're erasing the good heritage and the good beginning that America had and saying, no, not like that anymore. What do you mean this country was founded on God? They take all these things. They begin to pull all these things out of there. That's not good for me. I don't agree with that. So we have to have faith. The Bible says faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. So hear me for a minute tonight. Before you see your miracle and before God answers your prayer and before you see the result of what you've been praying, faith says, God, regardless of what happens, I trust you. I believe you. My hope's in you. God, I believe you're able to do it. But if you don't do it here, I believe you're going to do it there. That's the faith that you've got to have. And that says, with that kind of faith, that pleases God. I don't know about you, but I want to please God tonight in all that I do. We look here, number two, tonight to please God. I see this. You praise the way you praise and you worship God pleases Him. Now, I'm not talking about a Sunday morning praise, because there will be churches all across this land on Sunday morning with people standing in them praising them. And some of that will bless God, and some of it won't. And here's the reason why. Some people walk out of church on Sunday and there'll be somebody different the rest of the week. You think God can't see past the act that people are putting on and say, oh, holy God, worship Him, hallelujah, praise Him, and God doesn't know what you're going to do Friday night? That does not please God. That doesn't bless God. But I'm talking about a praise that comes out of your mouth 7 days a week, 24/7. It does not change. A worship you have before God that says, God, it doesn't matter if I'm in church or if I'm over here with my friends. I'm not going to be any different because you're not different, and I want to praise you and worship you and bless you with all my action. Bible said in Psalm 150, it tells us to praise the Lord. It said, praise Him in the sanctuary, praise Him with the trumpet, praise Him with your hands raised up, praise Him with hymn and cymbals and timbrel. All those ways we praise God. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And so when you do what the Bible says, it pleases God. God inhabits the praise of His people. So every day we worship and praise Him. Number three, tonight we please Him by being in the will of God. This is the problem I see sometimes with people in the will of God. But the will of God is here, and they just want to be on the outside of it. If I just get in, what are you talking about? Just get in. Get in the center of God's will. That's where you just need to get into. Quit walking on the outside edge and hoping you just make it. But why don't you listen to God every day of the week and say, God, I want to be in the center of your will. God, I want to seek you with everything in me. Let me be a living example for you. What's the Bible says? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. They said, then all these other things will be added unto you. But the first thing you need to do is to seek me. And when you seek God, then you get in the will of God, you be obedient to the will of God, and you hear what God's trying to tell you. Be obedient to it. Number four tonight, and it's in our text, it's just not what I've read. Chapter number four, it says this, verse number seven, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Let me give you this tonight before I go on and finish this up. I'm not going to be long, but I want to tell you this. God cares about your holiness. So much so that he says right here, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. A life that lives for God, a life that seeks God. You want to please God? Live a holy life before him. How do I do that? Follow after the word of God. Follow after the footsteps of Jesus, what he did. Don't be unclean in your living. Be holy in your living. You know what I'm talking about. Some people probably sitting in here tonight, and there's something you may have already done this week that was not a holy act. It was an unclean act, and yet you did it anyway. What do you do? You know what pleased God? When you come to the altar and say, God, I need you to forgive me of that. God, I repent of my sin. You don't have to say, Lord, I don't think I'm in. No, you just, Lord, forgive me for what I did wrong and help me the next time to live a holy life before you. Be obedient to the things of God. So we have holiness. With that, I've got to put this in there because I can't give you another one. I already told you four. But love. You want to please God, you need to love those that are around you. And sometimes that's the hardest one out of all those to do. People make it hard to love. For you to love them. They do everything sometime, but all of these things are important, and I could give you a big list of why we do these things to please God. There's an importance to every one of them, but all of these are important for this reason, for the next step that we're about to take. What is the next step we're about to take? Soon we're going to be leaving here and going there. If we can't get it right here, how do we think we're just going to go ahead and get it right there? God says, no, I want you to be in my will while you're walking on this earth. I want you to love one another. I want you to seek me. I want you to praise me and worship me. I want you to do these things. I want you to have faith in me now, even though you've not seen heaven and people call you stupid and people call you a fool for believing that there's a life after this. I do believe that. I do believe there's streets of gold and a mansion that is made for every one of us that know Christ is Lord and Savior. I believe all those things, I know, but it's just a stepping stone where we're at right now to where we're trying to get, where we're going to be. The question is this: where is it that you're going? I got to ask you this night. I know it's a revival night, and probably most people in here are saved. I don't know. Like Brother Dave said, he don't know any of your hearts, and that's the truth. I don't know where you stand tonight, but which place is it that you're going to? Because there's one of two places that you'll go. You will either spend eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. You'll either be a part of a new kingdom and a new heaven and a new earth, or you'll be a part of eternal damnation. I just got to tell you the truth. There's just one of two places that you'll spend. The Bible says in Matthew 24:44, be ye ready. That's what your Bible says. I'm not screaming it out. The Bible tells you, be ye ready, for in such an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. No man knoweth the time or the hour. But one day God's going to say to his Son, go back and get my people. And he's going to come back and he's going to rescue us. He's going to get you. I tell you all of these things for this tonight, because we are not going to be here. We are leaving. So I'm trying to get you prepared and get you to understand. Get yourself ready for a time when you leave this earth to be with him forever and forever. I like getting prepared for some things, but there's nothing greater than preparing for the kingdom of God. Can I remind you that whatever you're going through today isn't always going to be this way? Whatever kind of depression that you're dealing with, it's not always going to be that way. You might be dealing with cancer in your body tonight, but it's not going to always be that way. You might be dealing with anxiety, but it's not going to be that way. Maybe you got disease in your life, but Brother Richard, it's not always going to be that way. God may take it now, but I can promise you this, when you get there, it is gone. It's removed. It doesn't matter what it is that you fight now. You've got a God that's going to remove that from you when we leave this place and we go be with him forever and forever. Absolutely, one of the greatest moments in my life is when I've got a lot of kids. I probably have told you this, but I'm just going to talk about a couple of them real quick tonight. You better get worried. Someone, they're here. But one of the greatest moments of my life is when I was going down the road, Brother Dave, from church one night on a Wednesday night. I feel my kids had no idea I was going to do this tonight, so I asked them on the way here. I said, tell me about something, and they helped me with this, and I remembered every bit. I just want to make sure they remembered it. And I said, Bailey, tell me about the day that you got saved.
absolutely one of the greatest moments in my life. My little girl sitting in the back seat of the car I was driving, just coming home from church on a Wednesday night, and God's dealing with her heart in the back seat. Brother Dave, she starts crying, and that day in the back seat, Brother Dave, Danny, she gave her life to the Lord and got saved by the grace of God. My next daughter, Aubrey, she was in church one day, and her favorite preacher was preaching, her daddy. Make sure we get that right. Was preaching, and she said, "It was something that you said that God began to deal with her heart." And she said, "Right there while you was preaching, she bowed her head and closed her eyes, and she asked Jesus into her life." Brother Scott, these are the greatest moments of my life. I just got to share them with you for a minute. There's no big accomplishments that I have in this life, and that's okay. I can't take those things with me. But I can take them with me. I've got a little boy that sits back there, and he's ornery, and he's bad, and he gets into a lot of mischief. But I love him, and here's the thing. One day, God dealt with his heart so much, sitting on the front row of the seat, he couldn't take it anymore, and he ends up in the bathroom at the church, and finally, he comes back out, and tears in his eyes, and me and him fall down at an altar, and he gives his heart to the Lord, and he gets saved by the grace of God. I'm just talking about some of the moments in my life. You see, I can't take anything else with me, but what I can take with me is my family. My wife can go with me. My kids, they can go with me. My church, if they're saved by the grace of God, they go with me. My brothers and sisters that are here, it doesn't matter what church you come from. If you're saying, we can go together and be in the presence of God with one another. You know what gets me excited is Easter. Now, this is what makes me excited, to know that there's other people that are like-minded, that got a home that is waiting for them, and this isn't where it's at. This is just a temporal thing that we're passing through, pilgrim, just passing through, just for a little while. We may not get there at the same time, but we've got the same destination in mind. Some of the people, you know, they may have went on before you, but guess what? They're going right to where we're headed. Some of them that believe in Christ, that are saved through the blood of Jesus, they're already there. That's just the destination I'm going to. I've got grandparents. I've got loved ones that I'm going to get there to. They just went a little bit before me. Some, you know, went a little bit before you. But we've got the same destination in mind. Now let me give you this, and I'll be all done tonight. I want to ask you this question. Where is it that you're going? Where's the destination that you're headed? See, I stand up here before you tonight no different than anyone else that's in this room. But I know what destination that I'm headed to. And Bro Dave, it's nothing that I've done. It's all a gift that God's given. The only difference between me and a lost person is I've accepted it and said yes to them. That's it. I was still in sin like they were. Still going to hell. That's where I was going at one point. That's where they're going. They just don't know Jesus. I got Jesus. And so my destination switched and changed. Where is it that you're going? Do you know tonight where you're going? Because you will go one of two places. I preached a little bit, not necessarily on this at all, but about that subject a little bit on Sunday. Do you know where it is you're going? Because I don't ever want a person to be able to stand before the Lord and say, "He never told me." I don't want somebody's blood or life on my hands. So I've got to tell everybody, you will end up in one of two places. And it's your decision where it is you'll go. Because he's already gave his life. The Bible says, whosoever. And so if you're one of those, you're going to be saved and changed, and you know where you're destined. Now, if you're here tonight and you say, "Hey, I don't know that I'm going there," thank God you still have got breath in your life. God can change your destination tonight like that. All he has to do is knock on your heart tonight and you to say, "Okay, I'm done running from you and I'm done doing it my way. God, I accept you," and come kneel down at an altar and receive Christ in your life. And in a very instant, in a moment, the Holy Spirit of God will indwell within you and your destination will be changed in your life. Maybe you're here tonight and you know where you're going, but maybe you've not been living like you're going. You're saved, but really you've put God on the back burner. You've been doing things your way, not really trying to live a life that pleases God. Maybe last Wednesday's message about sin in your life hit you and you never came up and asked God to forgive you, but yet you're here tonight and God's dealing with your heart. Maybe you're saved and you know everything's right between you and God, but you're not been living a life like you're leaving here and like you're going there. So I want to ask you this, are you living a life that is pleasing God? Brother, whoever just maybe play, or if you got something tonight, if they would do this. I've got a little more, but I've got to listen to what God's telling me. I don't know where you're at this evening, spiritually. I've no idea. No idea where you're at. And whether you're lost or you're saved, no matter what destination, you can make sure you know that tonight. But if you're saved, I believe there's a lot of times in our Christian walk that we're not walking where God would have us to walk. We're not really in the center of God's will. Been doing it our way. And if the truth be told, you've not been living a life that's pleasing God. If for just a minute tonight, God brought you up here and set you in a chair, and He put on these televisions the way you've been living your life, would it embarrass you? Would it hurt you? Would you say, Lord, I wouldn't want nobody to know that's what I've been doing or that's what's been going on in my life? And God, so tonight I ask you, would you be willing to say, Lord, would you forgive me? I don't want everybody to know. I just want you to forgive me and walk a life that's pleasing to you. I'm going to ask you to stand tonight as they get ready. If you need to come to the altar, come tonight. Please come tonight.